Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Dr. Psych Mom Show. Today, I am going to do a topic that was requested in one of my Facebook Lives. So if you follow me on Facebook, then you'll always know when those happen. They're random. I don't schedule them. And I had done a video about how a man could reframe his wife's sexual rejection so that he didn't think of her as having all the power. And I said, what power? She doesn't want that power. It's so awkward and terrible. It feels horrible to reject somebody, you know? It makes her feel awkward and weird. And it's just like having to say no to like somebody's meal when you're not hungry. Like, it's just like you wish you were, but you're not. And women that don't understand responsive desire don't think there's any possibility for them to like it if they try, or et cetera, et cetera. And so then somebody said that I should do a podcast about power because it was such a popular video. And I said, nobody has the power in an unhappy marriage. And somebody said that that was a good quote. So basically, this whole podcast is crowdsourced, is what I'm trying to tell you. So we will delve right into all of this about power and an unhappy marriage and sexual rejection and emotional rejection right after I tell you to subscribe, because I have over 150 extra episodes if you guys do subscribe. And they're great. So where are we? So then what are we thinking about here? The idea that one person has power and the other person doesn't in a marriage is kind of this victim-perpetrator ideology that I really want to dispel with this podcast. So let's take the woman who rejects the man. So the man thinks that she, and this is not every man, like these are mostly obviously preoccupied attachment or fearful avoidant, very anxious men who have not been trained to think good things about women or about relationships, because that's who fixates on power. You know, so when people identify as incels, right, if you ever read that long manifesto of Elliot Rodgers, there was a lot of feeling victimized by the world and by attractive women and by cool men and not being able to partake in things that he should have, you know, gotten. And so there's a lot of that kind of thinking, certainly not to the level that somebody's going to go do a shooting spree, but for guys who struggle in their marriages with sexless marriage. And very few marriages, 10 to 15% of marriages are sexless. So to get into one, you've got to think about why. And that's a lot of what I talk about, right? And usually why is because you saw a really bad marriage growing up. You have very low self-esteem and you have no idea basically that there could be a happy marriage. You don't even know what that would look like. That's why I record episodes like, what does a healthy sex life look like? And what does post-honeymoon stage look like for happy couples, right? Because if you were not raised in a normal kind of house, if things were very dysfunctional between your parents and you didn't see a healthy relationship, then you have no idea that that's even possible. So that's who thinks like this. And those guys think they don't understand their wife at all, pretty much. I mean, that is very apparent. It's so apparent in couples counseling and individual counseling that men who are very, very unhappy with their marriages do not understand women. And frequently that is because they, you know, didn't have a home life where a woman was really talking to them. Their wife, their mother rather, was not really talking about her emotions, or she was talking about very negative views about men and relationships, etc. And so he did not have a healthy female role model that he learned to understand, which is why I have a post that said, mothers, to help your son understand women, share your feelings with him, something like that. So these men don't really understand women at all. These are the men that I think I help a lot, because a lot of them write in and tell me I do. And of course, my clients tell me I do. But these men, it's almost like they've never listened to a woman talk about her feelings. And they have, and the women that they find, by the way, don't talk about their feelings. So it's not as though they're unable to pick up on something that's directly stated. They are not drawn to women who talk about their feelings, and women who talk about their feelings are not drawn to them. They are very, very scared of intimacy, and so are the women that they find. They would still like it, they still crave it, but frequently the women that they're with don't like it and don't crave it, and that's why originally they met. They were what I call the gentleman eunuch, and you can listen to my podcast on that. And by the way, when I talk about sexless marriages in general, I am not talking about when people are 70 years old and the woman is long, long past menopause and things hurt her and she just can't really do it. And they mostly cuddle and then sometimes things get a little bit sexual. Like that could happen after decades of a great sex life. I'm talking about people who have been pretty sexless or low sex or low touch from the end of the honeymoon stage, pretty much. And in my other episodes on menopause and aging, I talk about the other kind of couple. But here, I'm talking more about, you know, the sexless couple where the guy's like in his 40s, you know? So anyway, or 50s or something like that, or 30s. So there's, man, if you go to the dead bedroom Reddit, there's guys in their 20s staying in dead bedrooms, right? And so it starts real young. So the point here is that these guys have no idea what the woman thinks. It's a long way to say that. And so therefore, they assume that that the woman must be experiencing some sort of gratification or power from being the one that is always pursued and gets to reject people. Almost like the power from like being a movie star and producer comes to you and says, I'd like to offer you millions of dollars to make a movie. And they say, why, no, I don't think so. I'm holding out for tens of millions of dollars from a producer I like better. Ha ha. You know, I mean, it's like almost like a fable, like this, it's like a fairy tale sort of interaction, very, very not real, you know, very, very fake. What they have in their mind is that the woman is somehow happy about this. Like, so that's why the guy said, how can I get myself around this feeling that she's experiencing, like this power, like that this is a powerful thing for her and that therefore she has all the power. So I will really go into the mind for you right now of what this woman feels when she rejects her husband. If she is like, I don't know, at least 95% of women who reject their husband. If she is like a narcissist or a sociopath, again, I've told you narcissists are only 1.7% of people. Likelihood of your, you know, significant other being one are very low. Or sociopaths even lower, right? So probably not, right? Probably she's just an avoidant woman. So go back to the Avoidant Wives podcast. Here's what she's thinking. Oh no, oh no, I hope he doesn't initiate tonight. I don't want to have sex. Why does everything have to be about sex? I don't even like coming home anymore. My fantasies are about getting away and living in a little apartment all by myself where nobody tries to touch me. I did a podcast about that recently, about the fantasy of being completely alone. I'm going to go upstairs. I'm going to pretend to be asleep. If I pretend to be asleep, then that is uncomfortable to do, but maybe then he won't initiate it. It's horrible when he initiates it because I have to say no because I have no desire. And so it's so awkward. He feels bad and he sulks and he punishes me. He really punishes me and he sulks and he makes it miserable for me and for the children. God, I wish that sex didn't exist. I feel so trapped. That's what she thinks. That's exactly what she thinks. You know, I mean, I talk to enough women that I know that's what she thinks. And so when women don't so a couple things. First of all, she may even be asexual. So you could listen to my podcast on asexual. Or she may be so unattracted to you. Or she may hate sex so much. And she even if she knew about responsive desire, it doesn't work all the time. By the way, I should make a podcast literally called Responsive Desire Doesn't Work All the Time, because like I say that, but people somehow think that what I mean still is that if you massage your wife or you start making out with your wife, she just has to basically wait out 5 to 10 minutes and she's always going to be turned on. No, she's not. No, she's not. But anyway, sometimes she is though with responsive desire, right? So sometimes If she starts kissing and touching, et cetera, she can experience desire. But you gotta be in the right headspace for that. And if a woman doesn't even know about that, is really sex negative, if not asexual, and that is low. Those rates are low too. That's 1% of people. So likelihood of her being asexual is low. But basically, she's probably sex negative and low libido. And there's been so much animosity and bitterness between you guys over the years over sex. And she thinks of sex as this horrible thing, the worst part of the marriage, the fact that you want it and she doesn't. She doesn't understand why you can't just take care of things yourself. She would even be okay probably with some kind of an arrangement, as I've discussed so many times. Many women say, why don't you just go sleep with somebody? And the guy says no, because he wants sex within his marriage, which I totally understand. However, the woman thinks of sex as so meaningless and so upsetting to her that it's as though she's like hates tennis, and you keep saying the only way you could play tennis is with her. You can't get another tennis partner. You can't stop playing tennis. You have to play tennis. You have to play tennis a lot, and it has to be with her, and she has to like it. You'd be like, fuck you, but I don't like tennis. I mean, hopefully, if you're like a nice person, you're reading my stuff and listening to my podcast, maybe you tried some tennis, you know, every so often. But my point is that most people can understand that analogy, right? Or if your hobby is glass jewelry making, as I told you in another podcast that I did when I was trying to talk about male versus female hobbies, and then you said to your husband, you have to come with me. Every time I go to a glass jewelry making workshop, you have to come. You have to come and you have to like it. In fact, you have to start wearing jewelry too, because otherwise I wouldn't be sure that you would like it. That's what it's like when men, you know, tell the woman, that's how it feels to the woman, when the man says, not only do I want you to want to have sex, but actually you can't act like a starfish anymore. She's like, that was the only way I was goddamn powering through it, was pretending it wasn't happening. Close your eyes and think of England. What? You taking that away from me too? You know? So my point here is not that that's where the conversation should end. It's that women who are married to men who want more sex than they want to give never feel powerful. They do not feel powerful. This is not a thing. So maybe looking at it differently would help you, as it does for so many of my clients. We're like, holy shit, she hates this. She's actually as unhappy as me. She is as unhappy as I am. I'm not having any sex. She's having sex maybe literally like, I don't know, 10 times a year, and she still hates it? Holy shit, what would that be like? Man, I guess it would be like the inverse of how bad I feel. Same bad, but for a different reason. But she doesn't feel power. So the anger comes from thinking that the woman is enjoying her life more than you're enjoying your life. She's not. She's not enjoying her life. Every day that she doesn't have sex is not a good day, because she knows that she is disappointing you. She knows that you are going to sulk. She knows that you are going to be irritable. She knows that this is not the marriage that you want. She knows there may be a ticking time bomb until she has to deal with it in some other way. You know, and based on the reason for her not wanting sex and based on how self-aware she is, this could be myriad things. She may be trying to wait it out until the kids are old enough that she could leave, because she thinks that the children deserve an intact family, and both adults being miserable should not come before the children being happy. Many women think like that. Remember here that she's miserable too. Remember that. Which is basically the point of this. Or she may think that her sex drive will somehow come back when the children are in school or they get older or this, that, the other. Right? It may, but, you know, that's a low chance. It does for some people. For some sex positive people, it does, because, as I said, like, same with chore play. Like, for people who like sex, having more time means you have more sex. But for people who don't like sex, having more time means that you do other shit, not have more sex. But either way, these women are not sitting there saying, oh, yippee, I'm so glad I have all the power in this marriage, and now I have to deal with my husband's bullshit because we don't have sex. And every time that a sex scene comes on and anything we're watching on TV, my stomach has to twist out of awkwardness. And oh my God, he's going to try to touch me or kiss me. And I have to make sure that he knows that we're not going to have sex. So I guess I got to pull away from that. So I can't even enjoy hugging and kissing anymore, because this sex thing is so big and disgusting and terrible between us. And it's like the worst part of my life. That's how they think. For real. And if you're a woman listening to this and this has been how you've thought, send this to your husband so he understands. Now, you might say, well, then what? Then does it just end there? Of course not. But the first step of couples counseling, this is not couples counseling, I'm just helping you understand each other, like I might do in couples counseling in a first stage. is understanding each other, empathy. You can't be angry at somebody else who's suffering. It's really hard. It's really hard. And she feels like she can't have sex with you. She feels disgusting. You know, I just watched the movie, I don't want to ruin it for you, but Cat Person. The story was, I thought, a lot better than the movie, which went over the top. But if you want to see a sex scene of ways that women, reasons that women have sex when they really don't like the guy and they're not in the mood, then watch that. And it does her whole internal monologue, and it could be useful for many men to understand why a woman would persevere through sex in the dating stages. And then in this case, you know, they didn't get married, but some people married that guy because he is a nice guy and he is a good guy. They don't really like sex anyway. And so if they have to power through something, they're young, they're in the honeymoon stage. And so, you know, it feels not that bad. Feels not bad, neutral. Then as they get older, their hormones drop and there's so much bitterness and the guy starts to be unhappy with the sex that they do provide. It feels just like impossible, a bridge too far. So this is when people have to really get educated about what sex can be and what can't be. And they have to go into depth about what works and what doesn't, what do they like, what doesn't work. Trying and practicing to get over certain areas of near phobia, such as touch or kiss. The man has to learn more about what he's doing right and wrong, usually wrong in the bedroom. The woman has to be educated about responsive desire. Only once we've tried a bunch of things can we ever really conclude that a marriage is unsalvageable in that regard, and that's not common. Of course, not every couple stays together, right? And of course, a lot of couples don't end up having more sex, but most of them do at the beginning of couples therapy, I'll tell you that. Most of them have a good little run at least, and then some people continue that forever. The ones that stay on forever, you know, they wax and wane and wax and wane. And then eventually, hopefully, they get to a stable place. Like, we have sex regularly. It's, you know, not as much as he would want, and it's not never, like we used to do. So let's say it's like once a week, once every other week, which is a hell of an improvement for a lot of people. But they can only do that and even start trying all of those things more practically once they basically understand the other person on a deep level, which is some of what I try to promote, obviously, with this podcast, among other podcast posts, etc. All right, well, I hope that you understand that your wife does not feel powerful when she rejects you, and that, in fact, it feels terrible to her. And then my work here is done, and I will talk to you all soon, and join the secret Facebook group, and have a great day, guys. Oh, and a rare PS from me. Going back to the whole nobody has the power in an unhappy marriage, women think this same kind of cognitive distortion as well, that a man who's not being romantic has all the power, and he's thinking, oh, ha ha, you know, I got somebody to take care of the kids and to have sex when I want, and I don't even have to take her on a date. I win. No one is thinking that, except if it's literally like a sociopath character from like a women's chick lit book. I mean, nobody thinks like that, right? And barely anybody. So what he is thinking is, I don't like romance. What is she even talking about? Every time an occasion comes up, I know she's going to cry. This is the worst part of our relationship. I never even know what she wants me to do. She puts me in a no-win situation. When I do try to get her a gift, it's always the wrong gift. Doesn't she know I've never been Mr. Romantic? Exactly the same. Exactly the same. He feels powerless too. Nobody feels powerful in an unhappy marriage. Both people suffer, whether it has to do with sex, romance, anything at all. All right. Hope you like that PS. Bye, guys.